our brother Michael Nakora of the San Francisco Ecclesia. The topic which he has chosen is Some Thoughts on Doctrine. Brother Michael Nakora.
People are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Those words come from the book of Hosea, the 4th chapter, verse 6. And I found it to be a surprising scripture. Note that the prophet there does not say that my people are destroyed for lack of love, for lack of witnessing, because they failed to pray properly, or because of any of a variety of reasons. No, the prophet says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Therefore, it would be profitable to consider the subject of knowledge or doctrine, and after considering it, to put it in perspective to some of these other aspects of the Christian's development. I think we should find that the subject of doctrine is important to us because it will bring about the growth in these other characteristics. But first, the definition. If you open the dictionary and ask it, what does the word doctrine mean? I think you'll find that there are three definitions. And first, doctrine is a particular principle that is taught or advocated. Secondly, it is teachings collectively. Or thirdly, a body or system of teachings relating to a particular subject. And so when we talk about doctrine, we are talking about the body or system of teachings that relate to a particular subject, and of course we mean the teachings of the Bible. In Malachi, the 2nd chapter, we have another prophetic statement that points out to us that these teachings and a knowledge of them is important. The prophet in Malachi 2, verses 1 and 7, has this to say, "And now, all ye priests, this commandment is for you. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts." What do you believe? Why do you believe it? Do you believe it because your parents believed it? Do you believe it because the friends that you like to associate with believe it? It's easy to believe the truth when we're with truth people. But how easy is it to believe the truth when you're with those that disagree with you? The Apostle Peter, in his first epistle, chapter 3, gave the brethren at that time, and this, some good advice. In 1 Peter 3:15, we read, "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you." Yes, we would agree. The priest's lips should keep knowledge, for the priest is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. We are ambassadors for Christ, we read. But it is an unfortunate ambassador that knows not who he is representing or why. In the opening verses of the 25th chapter of Matthew, we have a well-known parable. It's the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, and because you perhaps know it so well, we won't read it. But you'll recall that there were these group of 10 virgins who went out to meet a bridegroom, and in the going out, they would all look the same to our eyes. And yet the account tells us that 5 of them brought oil with them in their vessels, and 5 did not. Now, as a result, in the period of time that passed, those 5 that were unprepared had to go out into the marketplace to buy oil. And as a consequence, they did not enter in to the marriage. What do we get out of that? I think when we note that this class of virgins all existing there together, and to the average viewer would all appear the same, we note from the account that some were better prepared than others. Some had better knowledge of what was required of them, and the result was that they went into the marriage. And I think that we would take a lesson from it. We who are attempting to develop ourselves to the point where we would enter into the marriage, we should have full knowledge of what is required of us. In Philippians, the first chapter, we have a reference that shows the development of our characters is very closely related to a clear knowledge of the truth. We'd like to read verses 9, 10, and 11 from Philippians chapter 1. And this reading is from the Weymouth translation of the New Testament. Philippians 1, 9 to 11. And there Paul says, "It is my prayer that your love may be more and more accompanied by clear knowledge and keen perception for testing things that differ, so that you may be men of transparent character and may be blameless in preparation for the day of Christ, being filled with those fruits of righteousness which come through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." All doctrines are important, and all doctrines are perfect. In Psalm, the 19th chapter, we have a statement by the psalmist to this effect. Psalms 19:7. "The doctrine of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Now, the King James may not say "doctrine of the Lord is perfect" unless you check your margin, and you'll note that the word can be translated "doctrine." The doctrine of the Lord is perfect. Now, we know that there is only one standard of what is truth, and that standard is the Word of God. The doctrine of the Lord is perfect. Many good people in the world try to develop their characters just as we do. But let us remember that it is the doctrines that separate us from them. The doctrines teach us what we must do, what we are to become, and how we are to accomplish that transformation. I'd like to read a very short quotation from the sixth volume of the Studies in the Scriptures. And this quotation will relate to us the aspect of faith and knowledge. It comes from page 315, volume 6. And there, Brother Russell writes, "No man can properly be an overcomer unless he exercises faith in God. And the opportunity and ability to grow strong in faith will be in proportion to our understanding of the divine plan of the ages. Hence, doctrine is important, not merely for the knowledge which God's people are to have and to enjoy above and beyond the knowledge of the world and things pertaining to God, and this is important, but especially because of the influence which this knowledge will exercise upon all hopes, aims, and conduct. He that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. He who would endeavor to purify himself must begin, as the Scriptures begin, with the heart, and must progress, using for cleansing the inspired promises. And this means a knowledge of the doctrines of Christ." This is the end of the quotation, and you'll note that Brother Russell is here very eloquently showing that our faith grows by our growth in knowledge. Faith is really our trust and confidence in God and in His Word. If our trust has no foundation, it'll crumble under attack. The more we learn about God and the fulfillment of past promises and prophecies, the surer we can be that our belief in the future promises is correct. How do we learn the doctrines? We're not going to give you a list. Brother Woodworth has already commented on doctrines that are important to us. We're not going to talk about which doctrines are fundamental, which, for example, would be fundamental for eldership, or which for fellowship. In fact, I've been distressed at times to see so much emphasis on the doctrinal requirements for fellowship that some even refuse to shake hands with others just because they can't agree on some particular application of Scripture. And yet, these same people, when they see a worldly person come into the meetings, overwhelm them with attention, so happy that there may be a new believer in our midst. These things ought not to be. As Brother Baker suggested to us, we have need for more comforters in Zion. No, instead of making any list, we'd like to rather discuss how we can gain knowledge of doctrines and how we can learn what the Scriptures have to teach us. Then we might consider why we should do it. In Proverbs, the first chapter, verse 7, we read the very simple statement, "The reverence of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." If we had no proper appreciation of God and of His Son and of His Holy Word, we would never appreciate anything that has to do with heavenly knowledge. We are fortunate here to have been privileged to see this and to make this first step, this beginning in our search for knowledge. But if this be the first step, what is the second? I think in John the 8th chapter, we have a verse of Scripture which does indeed give us this second step. John 8:12, and it has already been quoted from the platform. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The Scripture here uses the phrase, a walk in darkness. And I think we would agree that a walk in darkness is a walk without light, a walk without knowledge. And Jesus here informs us that we walk in the light if we follow Him. So if we said a start in knowledge is our reverence of the Lord, we would say then that a continuance in this growth would be following in the footsteps of our Lord. And that means a full consecration to His will. It is quite unrealistic to suppose we could make any real progress in the path of knowledge without taking this step. We had a discourse on the Scripture, "Study to show thyself approved unto God," 2 Timothy 2:15. And it is an appropriate thought in Scripture in our study this afternoon. 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." This Scripture teaches us that quiet, personal study must take place if we are to grow in knowledge. God leads us through His Word. To expect His leading while ignoring His Word is most unwise. Paul here told Timothy that he must rightly divide the Word of truth. And that implies that simple Bible study is not enough. If it were, we would expect that millions of the people of the world would love and reverence the truth as we do. For millions claim to read their Bible. But there is a difference. We have the keys of the Scriptures that unlock the otherwise hidden truths of the Bible. Take, for example, the great divisions of time. The world that was, the world that now is, the world to come. simple, elementary concepts. You know them all. But how many of your friends, your Christian friends who read their Bibles, understand even that? But where did we get it? We learned it through a study of the first volume in Scripture Studies, or through someone who learned it there. The Lord has given His people the tools to understand His Word. And let us not think we can be good workmen without good tools. Our appreciation of God's character through His truths should result in development, character development in us. In Hebrews 6:1, we have this scripture. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Now, the King James is so obscure in that particular scripture that I'd like to read it to you again, Hebrews 6:1. And this time we'll take a modern translation, one of my favorites, and that's the Phillips translation. And in Hebrews 6:1, we read these words from Phillips. Let us leave behind the elementary teaching about Christ and go forward to adult understanding. Let us not lay over and over again the foundation truths, repentance from the deeds which led to death, belief in God, baptism, the laying on of hands, belief in the life to come and the final judgment. No, if God allows, let us go on. As a tender plant, the Lord waters us, and in time we can stand the heat of the sun and the storms that sweep the countryside. But the husbandman isn't looking just to see if we survive. What he's looking for is fruit, and it is the fruits and joys of the Spirit that best show our character development. No matter how deep our understanding of the doctrines may be, we will be cut off if we bear no fruit. There is a tendency in any consideration of this topic to stress the importance of doctrines for their own sakes. But that's a mistake. Doctrines are important insofar as they affect our development as new creatures. And that is the primary point. Let's repeat it. Doctrines are important insofar as they affect our development as new creatures. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 14 and 15, we read these words. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Follow peace with all men. The Apostle Paul has written more than any other apostle regarding doctrine and its importance. And yet we cannot help but notice that he stresses that it is all for a particular end result. And that end result is character development. You remember the words that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13:2. Though I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and have not love, I am nothing. Notice, Paul is not saying that understanding all mysteries is bad. What he is saying is that that understanding must be accompanied by love. We had a quotation from the sixth volume this morning, and it is evidently the Lord feels it's worthwhile because I have it in my notes, and I like it so much I'd like to share it with you. You heard it from Brother Roskowitz, and I'd like to read it again. Page 319, volume 6. Growth in knowledge is very liable to detract from devotion, strange as it may appear that it should be so. We find our capacities so small, our time for religious things so limited, that if our attention be energetically directed in one channel, it's apt to lead to dwarfing in other directions. The Christian is not to be all head and no heart, nor all heart and no head. In his well-known admonition to consecrate, as we have it recorded in Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 1, Paul goes on from this viewpoint of, I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. He goes on throughout that chapter to stress that we must be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we might be able to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That should be the result of our consecration. And Paul finishes that chapter with exhortations to develop character. And in particular, we're interested in verses 9 to 18 of Romans, the 12th chapter. And remember, here we have the words of an apostle to whom doctrine was extremely important. And yet, the end result of consecration should be these things. Romans 12, 9 to 18. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Be kindly affectioned, fervent in spirit, patient, instant in prayer, given to hospitality. Live peaceably with all men. Today, there are differences of opinion on some of the doctrines, but it is for each of us as individuals to decide what we can believe, proving everything from the Word of God. We read in Matthew 7:1 that we should judge not, that we be not judged. Good advice. But if we follow the advice to an extreme regarding doctrines, we might find ourselves indifferent. Let everybody believe as they please. But I don't think anyone here would say that this is what the Scripture teaches. Let's not go, though, to the other extreme. And that other extreme is one that insists on an exact dotting of the I's, an exact crossing of the T's. For that extreme is equally to be avoided. What is required in us as Christians is a proper balance, a balance between tolerance and righteous concern in our dealings with our brethren. Remember, it's the doctrines that test us and that develop our characters through that testing. Doctrines are one of the tools that are used in the development of the church. If the doctrines of the truth fail to bring forth the fruits of character development in us, we will have received them all in vain.